Good morning. Welcome everyone to our airport board meeting. I'm going to call February 18th board meeting to order. This is my first meeting as chair and just thank former chair Tom Benton for leading for the past 6 years. We appreciate you so much. And I'm going to lean on you for wisdom as I transition. But let's start our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance today. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So as we call this meeting to order, because I think we have a commissioner online or virtually attending, let's do a roll call. So Commissioner Benton?
Here.
Commissioner Davis?
Here.
Commissioner Kennedy? Cody was on a minute ago. I see his note taker on, so let's make, just for the record, that he's present. And when he unmutes, we'll make sure he's here.
I think that note taker signs in automatically.
Oh, does it?
So just because that's on there, okay. Doesn't mean that he is on there.
Okay.
So.
Cody, if you're on, let us know, please. Commissioner Kleinman?
Here.
Commissioner Schrader?
Here.
Vice Chair West?
Here.
And then the chair is present, Lindy Marshall, as well. I know we're in transition with a board clerk. Victoria, welcome to being our new board clerk. And Cam, thanks for your service. Would you guys mind doing an airport, the staff roll call as well? Or not roll call, because you think I introduced staff here.
Yeah, sure. Better. Yeah, I'll start with, Angela Hadalecki, Executive Director, Finance Manager, Jennifer Parker. Director of Finance and Admin, Sarah Mamie.
Welcome back, Sarah.
Yes. Operations Director, Dylan Heberlein. Terminal Operations Manager, Cameron Reese. Finance Specialist, Travis Bernier. Director of Facilities, Ben Peck. I think we have our Office Coordinator, Christina Warren, back there. Custodial Specialist, Briseida Rivas. Facilities Supervisor, Manny Maestas. Ground Specialist, Dave Murray. Ground Specialist, Ron Edmonds. Facility Specialist, Jimmy Ruiz. Facility Specialist, J.J. Jensen. Security Coordinator, Don Wilson. Grounds Supervisor, Sean Stratton. Ground Specialist, Tony Martin. Custodial Supervisor, Freedom Frazier. Custodial Specialist, Jamie Carty. Wow. Did I get everyone?
That was impressive.
That was impressive. Yeah, and then we have our legal counsel, Dan Reimer, on the phone, and we have our team from Mead and Hunt here, Jeremy Lee, Jen Bame, right? Did I say that right? Brad Rolfe. And then we have some guests today. We've got Fred and Donaldson from our commemorative Air Force. Good to see you, gentlemen. Thanks for being here. I trust that you've all had a moment to look over the agenda. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Perfect. Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Commissioner comments? I have a couple. Welcome back, Sarah. We're thrilled that you're back. Cam, welcome into your new role. Many of you probably did not see that there was a full-page spread in the Daily Sentinel about the amazing food service from Tailwinds. Did you guys get a chance to see that? But that was a really, really cool shout-out. I'm hoping that of all the things that gets publicized today in the news, that one goes viral so that Tailwinds doesn't know what to expect. But it is amazing food, and it's really fun to celebrate that. And then, of course, why you all are here today. And we're so thrilled that you're here to celebrate Manny. Manny, would you mind coming to join me? We're here to thank you for your 25 years of service at the airport. Not going to steal his thunder, but okay. What I understand about you is that if we want something done, you're the man to get the job done. And you had a career of 22 years of Pepsi before spending 25 years here at the airport. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all of your service.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here to support Manny, too. Ben, do you want to say something before letting Manny maybe say a few words?
Sure. I was
25 years ago, my wife and I welcomed our first and only kid into our house. I was out learning how to be a father, and I came back to find out they hired this guy, Manuel, to take care of the building. Prior to Manuel filling that role as a building maintenance supervisor, we didn't really do a lot of maintenance in this building. You know, I would come in off the grounds, paint in the winter, replace some tile, some of the airside guys would come in and work on mechanical things. And we've come a long ways. And I can tell you that this building had been pretty much neglected up until Manuel came here, other than like the real cosmetic stuff. So it was really nice to get to know Manuel over the last 25 years. I think we've come a long ways in developing a building that gets well maintained, far better than when I first cut my teeth here in 93. So it's been a pleasure to work with you. Thanks for bringing all of your skill sets over from Pepsi-Cola. Your institutional knowledge is something that, you know, I've tried to get out of your mind and pass on to some of the guys here. And so we appreciate your service. So thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not a person for many words, so I'll just keep it short. Like Ben said, I came here in 2000, I'm saying, so I woke up this morning and here we are 25 years later. You know what I'm saying? Like Ben said, you know, and way back then we only had one heating and cooling system plus two swamp coolers, so I do miss the airport company sponsored beaches, because I'm saying our ventilation system would throw sand out, so I go pull on my lawn chair out. You know what I'm saying? Wait a few minutes, and there I'm at the beach. So, so now, you know, we have 45 units that have the heat and coolest place, so it's kind of nice, you know, to have, you know, a warm place to come to, a cool place to come to. And so, you know, thank you for my service award. Thank you to all you guys for attending. And thank you.
Thank you, Manny.
Thank you.
Congratulations, that's really incredible. Angela, do you want to say anything awesome?
I'll just thank you, Manny. He is such an asset to the team, and I'm sure for the board members, you probably haven't even seen many of these staff members before. So sitting still is not their norm. So take a good look now. You probably won't see them again. They'll be out running around. But this building, I can't imagine the state it would be in without Manuel. And like, he has the best stories and the craziest stories, too, of the wild things he's had to do in the building. This morning, when I walked in, Manuel was downstairs with Jimmy. And Manuel was telling me how we only had a 19-foot lift when he got here, right? And so he had to paint the beams up high, and so he had to put a ladder on the 19-foot lift up to the ceiling crawl. And we have some staff members who are kind of afraid of heights. I'm like, well, no wonder you don't trust getting in a lift with Manny when he's doing that crazy stuff. But he's just someone who, whatever it takes, he no complaints. He's gonna go get it done.
So to add to that, I'm saying that if anyone ever wonders why Ben doesn't have no hair, because it's because of me.
Yeah, you guys shared an office when you first started here, right? Really hot office back in the IT room. So
we got in trouble trying to cool it because we were going to get our first air conditioner.
Yeah, I mean,
but we got cool anyways.
Manuel is the fastest walker at the airport.
More.
That is not true. Jimmy and JJ, I still see them following you. Like, everyone's trying to keep up with you. Like, there's no keeping up with Manuel. So the other thing is Manuel has announced that he's going to retire next month, and we're all really excited for him to get to go enjoy time fishing and doing whatever he wants, right? So he's done a great job here, and in the last few years especially, he's done a tremendous job really cross-training staff, too, so that we're set up for success when he decides to leave and go fish for a while and come visit us, and you know, hopefully
and so after that, with the help of each and every one of these persons that are on our team, they contribute to, you know, my success also.
Yeah. As you can tell, he's an incredible leader. Yeah. And we'll miss him very much when he retires. We're also so happy for him. And today we're really grateful that he has been here 25 years. Wow. And I think Sarah was smart to start today. It's a good day to start at the airport, clearly. Manny set the tone 25 years ago. So.
Manny, thank you for your service.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, and I trust that you'll be on call for this team, just like Tom is on call for this team. Good luck with retirement. You're going to try. Any other commissioner comments today? Okay. Do we have any citizen comments today?
We did not receive any citizen
comments. Okay, wonderful. So then we just need to head down to our consent agenda. Does anyone have any comments, questions about consent to pull out, or are we okay to make a motion to approve it as it is? Okay, let's. Can I have a motion to approve consent agenda?
So moved.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Thank
aye.
You all for being here. Let's take that call again. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Wonderful, motion carries. So then we are in our action. So we will need, and I'm trusting you all had a moment to take a peek at this housekeeping item. This essentially just allows, from what I understand, and would you like to explain this, Angela? This is pretty basic, or Dan, what this resolution is?
Sure, so this, these resolutions, they really govern who has access to the bank accounts and what they can do. So obviously, we're an entity who has millions of dollars in the bank. We want to make sure that our money is protected and proper controls are in place. And so really this is the first step when it comes to banking privileges. This then gets sent to the banking institutions we work with, and that governs what permissions they'll allow within the bank accounts. I will also mention that Jennifer put this together, and then she also consulted with Sarah to make sure that the full team was in alignment with who should have what privileges. And this is consistent with what we've done historically. This doesn't represent any significant changes.
Perfect.
Just changes in the people and different roles.
Perfect.
Anything else to ask there?
No. Can we have a motion to approve? And we'll need to actually, because this is a resolution, to read this out loud. This resolution.
Madam Chairwoman? I would move to adopt resolution number 2025-02, resolution concerning execution of documents pertaining to bank accounts to update banking access and permissions.
May I have a second?
Second.
Perfect. Any discussion? Let's the record show that Cody Kennedy just arrived at the meeting. Thank you. Welcome. All right. Let's make a call. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
I think we have to do roll call.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. And it says it there, and I just got a little distracted.
Right.
Forgive me.
Sorry about that. And for
no
the record,
problem.
I was in via Zoom for
okay.
the first part of that.
Good.
So.
Thank you. All right. We'll do a roll call. Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Sorry. Commissioner Kleinman?
Yes.
Commissioner Kennedy?
Yes.
Commissioner Schrager?
Yes.
Commissioner Benton?
Yes.
And I'm just thinking. Commissioner West?
Yes.
I'm written out. And the chair votes in approval as well. The motion carries. I'll have those written out, and I'll be a pro in no time. And then staff reports. Looks like you're up first.
Yeah. This is such a fast agenda.
I know. It's so fun. We're going to executive.
So I gave a pretty comprehensive update on air service last month, so I don't really have air service slides, except wanted to give the board an update with January numbers. So January passenger traffic was very high. So I think it's our 25th consecutive month of year-over-year growth, and as you can see, we were 15, well, I think we were actually 17% above January 2024 levels, and significantly higher than budget. You see load factors, that little blue dot, they dropped just slightly, which is incredible because capacity, so the total number of seats that we saw, was up by 19%. And so to be able to absorb that huge increase in capacity with virtually no shift in load factors is really incredible. In the next couple of board meetings, one where there's enough time, I'm going to have Harrison Earl, our air service consultant, provide a catchment study update to the board so that you can look at leakage and things. But the data that we have right now shows that leakage remains really low. And Q1, as a reminder, Q1 is when we tend to see the most leakage to the other airports, and so seeing this big jump in January is a really good sign. We're seeing fares trend downward, and that's not surprising. It's certainly what we hope happens as you add new carriers to the market. We've talked about this a little bit, but to remind everyone that Delta service being added to the market, it not only provides extra connectivity and an extra option, but it also tends to put downward pressure on fares because you have options on how you get to wherever you're connecting through. And so the network carriers overall tend to have lower fares in that competitive environment. So happy to see that. Last week I went and to an air service development conference and met with six different airlines. I think football analogies make the most sense in air service development. It's rare you get a touchdown, but you want to keep moving the ball down the field and you really don't want to fumble. So I would report no fumbles. I think we did move the ball down the field a little bit. Certainly no touchdowns, but maybe a couple first downs. So really excited about the progress we're making there. But nothing helps us more than seeing this. When the airlines add extra service and the community immediately responds by using the service and by keeping the planes full, I mean, that sells itself to our airline partners. So really excited and happy about that. I have a couple more updates. Happy to report that, well, actually, let me take a step back. So our air traffic control tower isn't something that we talk about a whole lot, but it's in the news a lot right now, and I want to make sure the board is aware of kind of the current state of ours. So we have an airport-owned air traffic control tower. So some, at some airports, the FAA actually owns the tower, so we own the tower. And it's a contract tower, so there's contractors of the FAA who staff our tower. So that contract, you know, bids for the whole contract tower program were due for renewal last year. Ultimately, our existing provider, a company called Serco, was not awarded the contract. Instead, this broader district, which includes places like Eagle, they also have a contract tower, that contract was awarded to Robinson Aviation. They successfully made that transition on February 1st. They were able to retain the controllers here, and things are very smooth. So just wanted to brief the board on that because it's a big deal in our world. Certainly something that Dylan and his team and I have been paying close attention to and checking in to make sure as it gets down to the wire, you know, that staffing levels are there. They're sure they'll be okay. Eagle Airport, on the other hand, there's been a lot of press about that situation. That's a harder to staff tower to begin with. And they have struggled through the transition, and the transition's actually been postponed. I'm not going to talk too much about that situation, but I just want this board to know that today, when FAA controllers are in the news, when, you know, the Vail control tower is in the news, our control tower is in really good shape. And in fact, we're actually optimistic about this opportunity to engage a new company in the runway project and the air traffic control tower projects we have. It's really good timing for us is how we see it, but I wanted the board to know that transition's been made. Same voices up in the tower, different paycheck.
Do we feel like it was easier for us to staff this tower because of our surrounding area and housing and whatnot, or is it
absolutely
our airport environment?
Absolutely. So when you look at the towers that are struggling to have adequate staffing, it's in really expensive places. So expensive areas of California, expensive mountain towns like Eagle.
I was going to ask, is the contract with the FAA or with us?
With FAA. So we don't have any input on it.
And is there, in light of upcoming cuts across the federal government, is there an opportunity for us to contract directly for that tower?
We wouldn't want to do that because our level of responsibility isn't the air traffic control system. I mean, that is very clearly FAA territory. Okay. And so our tower, they govern the airspace around the airport. And then when you move outside of that airspace, that's governed by Denver Center, which is located in Longmont. So the bigger air traffic control center, if you're ever over there, it's a really cool tour if you go on it. But I think it's really important. Best case scenario is the airport doesn't have to get involved in that,
right.
And that's the case we're in. So.
Would there be opportunities to do funded positions with a contractor? In other words, we would create a grant. My concern is if the federal government starts cutting FAA money, and if they start cutting the contractors, then we're pushed into the Denver, and then we don't have a tower.
Yeah,
that's
I think
manned.
So. To answer that question, you know, there are airports that actually do supplement the funding
mm-hmm.
that the FAA
okay.
provides to the contract tower. Fortunately, we've been in a position where that hasn't been a need. But those airports that we talk about that are hard to staff, virtually all of them, if not
okay.
all of them, provide housing subsidies and all sorts of different extras on there.
Right.
Actually, I was talking to the airport director in Redmond, Oregon. They not only have to supplement, but they have one day a week where they're tower zero. There is no tower because they just don't have adequate staffing.
Okay.
So best case for them is actually fully staffed 6 days a week. That's their goal. happy to, so our tower is open from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week. It's a really important element. Several of the components at our airport require there be an air traffic control tower. So FedEx, being the largest aircraft, they require that the tower's open. And so for Tom and I, who live in the approach pattern for that morning flight, we know right when the tower opens because we can hear FedEx on approach. Just happy to report that the tower is in really good shape, and it's actually great timing with this tower project that we have coming up. And the runway work, we absolutely want the tower to be involved in providing input into that. And so it's opened new doors, or I guess it's just, it's a fresh perspective to look at it and provide input, and they're really excited to provide that input.
Great. Yeah, and we were able to tour it last month. The commissioners got joined. That was really, really an insightful tour. We got to meet the team that's on contract right before the transition, and they were all really pleased with that transition. So that was it's exciting to hear. And also the upgrades that we're going to provide, like good HVAC to keep them cool in the hot summer, I think that'll go a long way for that good relationship.
Well, and kind of to put a bow on things, to readdress your question, Thaddeus, the tower, the controllers are typically retired military controllers, and this provides them an opportunity to supplement their income. And Grand Junction is such a desirable place to live, especially for vets with our awesome VA hospital and things, that we're set up really well to have a successful contract tower, and I'm happy that we've had one. For a long time, and that, you know, through this transition, things were smooth. So. And that's all I have.
Wonderful. Can you kindly remind everyone our record year of passengers and what our goal is next year?
Yes, so our passenger traffic last year was 571,000 passengers served, way more than we've ever had. Our prior record was 525,000 set in 2021. In 2023, the prior year, we served only 505,000, so a huge increase, and that's why you saw in our goals, setting the goal of 600,000 passengers. That represents 5% growth. We think that's realistic. Last year was a big jump in our air service opportunities with Breeze and Delta, plus the additions that United made in capacity, so we expect this to be a slower growth year, some deceleration in the growth, but we think 5% is realistic. So I really want that number to start with a 6 next year, if I'm being blunt. It's less science and more art in setting that goal this year.
It's exciting, though. I'm excited to celebrate that. Thank
you. We do have one fewer day this year than we had last year. Being a leap year, so.
We can make it up. Jennifer, I see that you're on the agenda for your final finance and activity report. Thank you for all of your work.
I told her maybe not final.
Oh no, she's made it clear.
Okay, so looking at so far for operating revenues and expenses year to date as of December, and I want to remind you too that all of these are year end entries have not been yet, so this is not reflected in these statements. Passenger airline landing fees increase due to more scheduled flights on larger aircraft. Non-passenger landing fees is less than forecast, and this is due to we have fewer FedEx flights than we expected, and there was no BLM activity for the month. Rental cars are down and parking revenue is up, and this is due to more residential traffic, so we have more people parking than we do flying and renting cars. Would you say that's the best way to describe that? And then operating expenses, supplies and materials were below forecast. These are actually incurred on an as-needed basis. Contract services were a little below forecast. We really beefed up this in case we moved faster with Gensler, and so that's why it's a little less than we had forecasted. Non-operating revenue and expenses primarily is driven by the construction activity. Go ahead.
Actually, can you go back? Because I want to point something out. So Jennifer and Travis's forecast for operating revenues, that's a $9 million account, and it was off by $170. So I know their account, well, so when I talked to them about that this morning, because I've been out of town, I was like, you guys, it's a big deal. Travis's response was, well, there's always room for improvement. So that's how you know their accountants. But I just wanted to recognize that because it's unbelievable how accurate it was. Thanks for calling that out.
Okay, and then as far as with the assets and liabilities this month, cash balances decreased due to timing of payments and receivables. As you know, the construction expenses can really sway those back and forth. And then also another big thing that happened in December was our semi-annual bond payment. In December, so you'll probably see that reflected between the cash flow and the liabilities. Okay. And then for this is January payments over $100,000. We just had a few for January, but that'll be picking up for sure in February. Have any questions?
Any questions or observations? Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Colin, you made it.
Made it.
You were on that flight that landed just minutes before me. Yeah. We're glad you're here.
That's perfect. Just in time. Delivery.
Just in time.
So we typically end up talking about the runway program for the whole focus of this because it's the elephant in the room. It's the big thing that, I mean, it's definitely the bulk of my focus, and it's also the big dollar amount item. But there's actually a lot of other things going on. I didn't mean to have these transitions, so bear with me. I want to talk about all these other things. So you're going to get questions from the public, I'm sure, for all of these things. There's landside improvements, there's terminal improvements. Angela mentioned the air traffic control of the tower. We got a grant for that, so there's improvements there as well. There's also private development, so you know, when we total all these things up, there's over $100 million worth of design, construction, things going on at the airport. So we're going to talk about each one of these. So you've seen this slide before. In the next board meeting, we're going to bring to you a design contract to finish what's in green, and that's going to be the focus over the next 2 years. And then we'll move on to the orange. So in the background, we don't talk very much about it, but we're already talking about the orange to get that lined up with our FAA partners. We've been having conversations for years, but that's coming more in the focus as well. So that's a big focus for the next couple of years, getting that lined up. Landside improvements, we are expanding the parking. So we have clicked, man, I hate that I accidentally have all these transitions on. Yeah, just advance. So we are looking at 350 new spaces. That is the left side of the screen. The right side, we went ahead and laid out an ultimate configuration. This is in progress, but we're trying to make sure that we have good flow through that lot, and we can expand it and eventually turn that into having different price points and have that set up for future success. One thing that is, and that's going to start this summer and be open, the left half of that will be open by November of 2025. Solar-covered parking, that's been mentioned in passing a few times in board meetings. We are targeting looking at 100 spaces for the existing lot. Go click one more time. The airport actually has responded to a renewable energy credit RFP through Xcel Energy, trying to capture money for that. Cody put us in touch with somebody there. The general on-call contractor worked with Angela and her team to get that done. We're waiting to hear back on that. No news yet. We'll keep the board posted. That's a big opportunity, solar-covered parking, so it would be really cool if we can get that green.
Is the plan for straight-in parking on this, or is that just so we can count
spaces? This is, right now, that's what we've got, but where it's going to be, it's going to change, and we're looking at different options, too, that don't.
Yeah.
This
I,
is
I know you get more spaces that way, but sure. Just look at the size of the vehicle considering your current parking lot.
I'm really happy that the Gensler team is taking the approach they've taken, because they're working with the city in advance and looking at this ultimate configuration, because we need to make some changes to the drainage in particular. Mm-hmm. And so by taking the total build into consideration, we can actually just relocate the drainage we're relocating and be done with that, which will make it so much easier to activate new parking in the future. As far as decisions about whether it's straight in or angled parking, I am with you that I strongly prefer the angled parking, and that's why we've kept it in our existing lot. It does cost you space, right. And so it's that trade-off. And so as the design gets finalized, I think those decisions will need to be made. But ultimately, the vision for this lot is more of an economy product, and so we do need to squeeze more parking per square foot out of it than we do in our existing lot. And what you'll also see is we're not accounting for any landscaping. That is typically a requirement in the city. You can look on Google Maps and see that it's really unusual in the airport to have a lot of landscaping, and so we're working with our city partners hoping that we can have this lot really optimize parking at the airport, because I know right now it might sound silly because you just see this giant dirt lot, so of course you can put landscaping up there, but you only have so much space at an airport, and we have an obligation to make highest and best use, and so we anticipate keeping external landscaping as part of the design, because it's aesthetically pleasing. It also serves as a barrier and, you know, keeps people out of the lot. And we're trying to account also for additional infrastructure needs from a traffic flow perspective on H Road, where H and, what is that drive called? I don't know.
Falcon Way.
Or you exit out here, where H and Falcon Way intersect. So I'm sorry to interject, Colin, but we're really, I'm really proud of the work the team has done, because it's so much harder and more work, and I can't imagine how annoying it is to Colin's engineers on his team that we keep, you know, tweaking things, but now is the time to do that. And as a reminder, too, we're really looking at our parking improvements in two phases. First, we just need more parking in absolute terms, and that's what this is. And then this, for us, unlocks the ability for us to be able to close off a section of the parking lot, add covered spaces. As Colin said, we anticipate it will be covered solar spaces, because it's actually less expensive to build covered solar parking than just covered parking, because a lot of the government incentives involved, and for us to start differentiating products. But I really expect that will be a 2026 project, that phase two and that optimization, whereas phase one is we need more spaces so that we have a different Thanksgiving experience.
Sounds like the right priorities.
Are we reading this correctly that they add an additional exit booth? So whenever I drive by after a bunch of flights come in, it seems like there's a long line of folks just waiting to pay the ticket.
Yeah, so our plan right now is in phase one. We've got some lane shown here for connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
That'll likely get filled in based on some conversations we had last week. But the plan is for people to still enter from the normal exit. Sorry, entrance, come through, this is overflow, mm-hmm. Probably no parking price differentiation in phase one. They'll come back out and exit. In this expansion, our plan is to build a new entrance here, sign that differently, be clear with it's a lower price point, have a card style reader here without a booth, mm-hmm. So the people that want to pay with the card can. People that don't have the card, or they lose their ticket or whatever, they still go out. Still an option for them to get out and exit. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's a way to differentiate it prior to them entering the lot, is the thought.
And the image on the left, that's below and differentiated, that's just the 350 in total, or is that whole scale 350?
There's probably 1,200 spots.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, 350 will be the left.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Thank you. Got it.
And when it comes to the exit configuration, so our parking lot, we have a parking management contract with a company called Reef Parking, and that has been in holdover. So we will be RFPing for a new partner. Right now, we don't use current technology in our parking lot, and so we expect there'll be a step increase in the technology that's used. It should result in much higher throughput. frankly, those changes are not dissimilar to what we did down at the TSA security checkpoint by investing, and we'll expect the parking contractor to actually make those investments. By investing in technology, your throughput rate can go way up without having to add new lanes. But InterVistas, our current planners, they are exceptional landside planners. That's really where their business was built from. And so they are on every construction call we have. And as kind of the design is being finalized, then they're able to start modeling. And they typically use Monte Carlo modeling simulation models to really look and see how many lanes do you need so that we know when we'll need to add more lanes or if. But we're hoping that with this expansion, we actually won't have to add any new exit lanes. We just need to make the ones we have more efficient. Yeah. Mm. The other piece is by spreading people out, the arrival curve to those booths gets spread across a broader time period, so the line actually tends to be shorter. Right now, part of why, well, a big reason why the line can stack up is because everyone comes out of the building and has a similar walk to their cars to get in and leave. Because now, you know, you think about a flight with 100 people on it. Right now, all 100 people are walking out to their cars as they parked, right, in the same lot, same walk, getting in line at the same time. With this, some of those people will have a much longer walk, and so they'll be arriving to the exit booth later. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, long story short, we don't know exactly what changes will happen at the exit booth yet, but they are... they're being accounted for in this preliminary stage at a very high level. And when we look at the numbers, we should be getting faster throughput than we're getting right now. And that's mostly a technology problem.
Just a quick kind of question or maybe a point. The talking about the landscaping and some of the other issues that I know you're going to encounter with planning with the city, it seems like it would make sense to maybe approach the city manager, if I can help that in any way, but just stay, not necessarily go around planning, but say these are some things that are coming, please consider some variances, here's how and why. I know the city on occasion grants themselves those variances. I think it makes sense for this type of project to go in with that expectation. So if there's ways that I can help.
Yeah.
Cost savings and
thank you.
Space, right?
Yep.
I think that's something else you've talked about is, you know, we do have a lot of dirt out there that's not good for anyone, right? And I mean, it's not good, I mean, even from a stormwater perspective, it's not ideal. And so, whether it's millings or something too, you know, thanks for opening that door because I think looking at how we can just make the most of what we have out there, I think is in the city and the airport's best interest.
Yes. So terminal improvements, I think this is probably the one you'll be asked the most about by, you know, the general public. The first three projects, Pasker Boarding Bridge, shown in green on the right, but also Holder and Refresh in Millwork, shown in purple. Those are both really passenger-facing improvements. Both of those will begin in April. And then the basement IT and storage is shown in blue. That will happen in April as well, is when that's scheduled. Less public-facing. Any specific questions that you have about those projects, what they entail? We talked about some of them, but you know, questions that could come up. Rebecca is also on the line. I can answer.
Yeah, Colin or Rebecca, can you just paint a picture for us of what passengers will see and how quickly? Because it'll be the furniture that we were just approved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, Rebecca, I'm going to pass to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so we are anticipating, we're getting the efficiency that we were shooting for with the hold room refresh and the passenger boarding bridge replacement happening at the same time. SCI will need to go through a pretty extensive phasing understanding of which gates are going to get these upgrades at the same time. But because we're moving the boarding bridges and impacting the doors and moving the gate agent desks, all of that can happen at the same time. And I anticipate it'll be kind of gate by gate, keeping certain ones active while other ones are under construction. And then the basement IT and storage will be essentially non-visible, I think, for the general public.
Okay.
And timing-wise, we
expect
construction activity to start in April. But I don't actually think that'll be very visible in April.
Okay.
But this summer, the construction activity in the building is going to be highly visible. So Ben proactively ordered two airport-owned ADA ramps for ground boarding outside. So the ADA ramps you see at the airport are all owned, historically have all been owned by the airlines, but that way we can keep airlines whole regardless of the equipment they have here. It can serve every aircraft type we have. And so passengers will be ground boarding more, but that has played into the schedule we've set up. They'll be ground boarding when the weather is favorable here in Grand Junction. And what we find is passengers often love that ground boarding experience. Getting to go outside an airport feels cool, and our airport's pretty. So passengers this summer will be going outside more, but it'll be set up in an efficient way to where we don't expect any impact, negative impact to operations or anything like that. As far as the overall refresh, we don't have the precise timing down yet on when flooring will happen. That work, to remind you what you have and have not approved, that work has not come before you yet. But we do have some cost estimates that we're going over with FCI. But we're really trying to just time things to where we have the flexibility to do, you know, to kind of knock it out in one space and really not have to revisit that space. And as Rebecca indicated, we are on track for that to where we'll have a situation, I mean, even the furniture is being assembled off-site and being held at a warehouse so that it can come on the day that makes sense for it to come and be delivered and set up. So it'll really be Q2 that passengers start seeing that impact, but that latter part of Q2 is when they'll really see it. And then the work should be done, you know, really by Labor Day. We're expecting everything should be complete.
That's exciting. There'll be impacts, but they'll be minimal, it sounds like, with the phasing. And
yes,
they can always eat at tailwinds.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. Well, and, you know, some of the decisions that we'll have to make still, I mean, we set this up to have ultimate flexibility, which includes doing one loading bridge at a time.
Yeah.
And so now we're looking and saying, okay, does that make sense? Or what would we gain if we did both at the same time? Because it wouldn't be terrible if passengers just have to ground board during that period, but we would need to understand what the trade-offs are.
Yeah.
So, sorry we don't have more specifics on when the work will, you know, really start, but the construction meetings are getting more frequent and, you know, supplies are starting to come in. We have the right timelines now to line it all up to where it's like, yeah, we are going to do this on this day, and we'll do this on this day.
So. But you're right, that's the thing that we're gonna get asked about the most.
It's nice to be doing a refresh when it's just a little bit stale and not completely rotten, like some airports I've lived through.
Thank you. Yeah, that is an important goal we have, is we want to be proactive in our work. Before things are painful, we just want to take care of it. I mean, we don't get to control a lot of the airport, but from a community perspective, sometimes I think there's a misunderstanding of what we have control over. We don't control the fares, we don't control the airlines who are here, any of that, but we are responsible for the facilities everyone's counting on us for. So thanks to the board for your awesome support in getting this done.
So two more things, the branding and signage replacement. That's underway right now. We anticipate having that ready for bid late this year. And then terminal concept design, that's also under design as well. So as a reminder, the ADP recommended an expansion, some new gates. That's what this is looking at. It's looking at the right next pipe to bid with the forecast and both of those things are in progress as well. Three clicks, yeah. There we go. So air traffic control tower improvements. So this tower was constructed 65 years ago, so it is very out of date. And really, at one point, there was a discussion about actually just picking it up and moving it because there are some visibility issues, but that's completely unfunded. I mean, there's no money for that, and it's a, you know, $60+ million endeavor. And so the decision was made to put together a modernization plan. We worked with the GC on-call, Ben's team, architects, and laid out basically a four-step plan of bites that we can take off that to try to get it funded. There is some money available right now through that federal contract tower grant through the build funding. We were able to receive a $1.3 million grant for that this year, so that is currently in the design process to really take care of the windows, the HVAC, and roof replacements, which is the first most important step of that. We're going to keep applying that's going to happen this summer as well.
And this is a little project, but we've been working closely with our partners at the airport district office for the FAA because, as Colin indicated, like carved within Bill, you know, there's the airport piece of funding and then it's broken up into buckets, and I've heard you talking about that in the past, but one of the tiny buckets is for federal contract towers. It has to be airport-owned federal contract towers, so it's a much smaller group. That is the bucket that we were funded from this last round, and there was $20 million across, spread across the country. We got $1.3 million. It's 100% funding. Well, starting this next year, it's expected that that bucket will actually have $120 million in it because those bill entitlements, that same funding we're using for our passenger loading bridges, there's airports that aren't spending that, and if they've missed the deadline, it gets turned back to the FAA. Usually it's small dollars that are getting turned back, but spread across a lot of airports, it's a lot of money. And the way bill is written, the first $100 million that's turned back goes into that federal contract tower program. And so the FAA does expect that to have $120 million. And so that's why we have that more comprehensive program. That comprehensive program is, you know, close to a $10 million program overall. We broke it out into phases because we really need that phase one work done. We were successful in getting that grant award, but we still have, you know, $8 or $9 million to go. And we expect that, I mean, there's two more years of that program, and we expect both years should have $120 million available. And so we're really hopeful that we'll be able to get some more money to complete some of the further phases. When we say we're doing the HVAC this year, it's just the HVAC that directly supports the cab. Where the controllers sit, because that's what's most important. It's very old. I mean, it's more than twice its useful life. That's the current age of that. We need to work more comprehensively on the bigger systems in the tower as well, and it's expensive.
I assume the new runway won't require any changes to the existing tower?
We don't expect any changes needed.
It doesn't need to be closer to the runway.
No. How are we addressing the visibility issues that you mentioned? Okay.
There's one impact, and it is looking towards runway 422. There's a small area that the tower can't see clearly, but that's been a condition there for, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years at least.
I think it's a problem from the 1900s, right?
it's a known condition. It isn't, it's never caused an actual safety issue, but obviously we'd love to have it cleaned up. There's just no money to do that. I mean, the money to do that would be private debt, basically. It would be the Air Force going and taking out a $50 million, you know, loan to do that.
Is it a hangar that obstructs the view?
It's a hangar.
And it obstructs the taxiway or the actual runway?
The taxiway. It's not the actual runway. It's just the taxiway. So there's a spot, if you're sitting in the tower and looking out, there's a portion of the plane's taxiing where it goes out and then it's back. You know, it's 200, 300 foot run of where your blind
side's wide. I would assume they have cameras or something there.
No.
They don't.
Yeah.
No. You would assume. That's a great assumption. There should be.
It seems that would be the
Can
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Are they allowed to go?
So, that's where we have been working with FAA for the 7 years I've been here on being part of their camera programs. So you hear about, you may have heard about the remote tower program in Loveland at the Loveland Fort Collins Airport, or Colorado Regional, I think is what it's called now. They don't have a tower. That's what precludes them from having commercial service. They need a tower. CDOT Aeronautics years ago funded a study to actually have pilot the first ever remote tower. And so it really is just cameras. And so, you know, the controllers can sit in a room and they have panoramic view of video cameras. And plus radar. That program really stalled out in the pandemic. They were making great progress. People have left. I mean, they are like back to, you know, they were at step 8 of 10 and now they're back to like step 2 of 10, it feels like. But that program, we're trying to have a spinoff to start supplementing with cameras. I mean, I think it's a really archaic side of aviation that the controllers have to be able to see with their naked eyes, the ends of the runway and all of that. I mean, cameras would help a lot. And there are examples where it's used. So up in Aspen, they're able to supplement with cameras a little bit. So that's something that those conversations are continuing. But it's not, the reason why Aspen has the cameras is because it was creating a safety hazard. And so it solved a problem. This is mitigation and enhancement. And so it's, you know, it's been a lower priority, but we would love to add that. And we want to add that to address the current issue, but also to enable taller hangars to be built in our general aviation area, because the aircraft have gotten taller, and it really is that line of sight. Because our tower is old, it's pretty short.
So is it regulatory or funding that's not enabling us to put cameras?
Regulatory. So we're optimistic, though, and I think we have stayed engaged in those conversations in a way to where we're set up nicely as those wheels start, as momentum gains again, for us to be able to spin off and add those enhancements. I'm feeling confident it will happen eventually, but it's not there yet. But that is why the tower has just kind of been treated like it's going to be replaced eminently for a long time, because we have a relocated tower on our airport layout plan, you know, that was cited, and that's where we're going to put it. But the relocation of the tower is a funding problem, and I mean a big funding problem, because not only do you need to build a new tower, but there's no infrastructure out where that new tower would go up on the northeast side. And the FAA is really not building new towers. I mean, they really are looking to technology to enhance safety instead, and so that's why I've taken this approach.
Yeah, that makes sense. Any other questions? Do you have anything else in your presentation?
No, that's great.
Any other questions for Colin? We have a beefy executive session agenda. Is there anything else commissioners would like to discuss or visit about today?
You have one more thing.
Oh,
yeah.
You do.
No,
sorry.
Okay. No,
I apologize.
I'll go quicker this time.
No, you're great.
I actually think you're going to get a lot of questions about these, because both of these are splashy. Air Force, you know, only really involved on lease negotiation type things and finding extra places to park and that sort of stuff. There's two big improvements that are likely to be in the newspaper. The BLM tanker base, that both of these are really slated to start in March of 2025, but BLM is going to break ground on a new tanker base. I think everybody's heard about that. Westar maintenance hangar, that's been in the news for years now, I feel like, but they're really close to breaking ground on that as well. Both of those are huge improvements, big deal.
Yeah, and our community. That's really exciting.
Colin, can you tell us on the BLM tanker base? It looks like a large doors for a big truck, water truck on the right hand screen.
I don't know. I was pulling renderings. I thought the same thing. I was like, is this an ARF?
Is this airside or landside? Which one is it? What do we got going on out there?
I don't know. I think it may be for fuel trucks, actually, but I don't know that, or water trucks.
Okay. But that's going to be an airside facility, right?
It is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that corresponds to that lease extension the board approved last year.
And then I've got one last slide, and it's really one you've seen before, but it's a reminder of things upcoming. Most importantly, a reminder for runway 1230. That final packaging I talked about earlier is coming next month for approval. That's for design. We have requested a grant. We anticipate getting that grant. But we're going to come to you and ask to refund it. And it's really just to keep that momentum that we've got by getting so much money last year for doing the same thing. So that's going to be the ask next month.
Okay. I'm having trouble transitioning from 1129 to 1230.
So, yeah.
It's the same.
It is the same. So it's a relocation, reconstruction of 1129. And so it's going to be 1230. And it's exactly parallel.
Yep.
So it's only due to.
So it's time to start using the new numbers,
yeah,
the new language.
Well, when we say 1230, we're always talking about the new one, because the FAA has allowed us to delay the implementation of the number change so that they have different numbers, because it makes it easier for all of us in our discussions to make it clear which runway we're talking about, despite them being parallel.
Good. Thank you.
Something else on here with the terminal parking lot expansion, you know, that is something that, so the board approved the design, from a funding perspective on how that will get constructed. That's not eligible for grant funding. We've been working with our partners at CDOT. As a reminder, we use a state infrastructure bank loan, SIB loan, to construct our last parking lot expansion. That loan is a 10-year loan, 3% interest rate. It was no-brainer. It allows us to maintain high liquidity. We went back to our partners at CDOT to see if there's funding available. There actually is not enough funding available in the aeronautical fund, so they've been working with the highway team, and the highway team has agreed to allow money to transfer over from the highway side into the aviation fund to allow us to apply for an SIB loan to fund our parking lot expansion again. And so I don't have numbers to go over with you today, Sarah's back, so she'll figure it all out. Just kidding. But I do want to make sure I'm not getting too far ahead of commissioners, because that is the funding source that we would like to use if we can, because the interest rate is so low. It's currently at 3.5%. And there's no prepayment penalties. It just gives us maximum flexibility. And we will likely need to come to the board with an application at our March board meeting, because CDOT is really happy with the progress they've made, and that's the timeline they'd like to be on. So the board can expect a more beefy discussion about the financial side of parking at our March board meeting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that. Robust presentation, but really helpful so that we can be equipped to answer people's questions when they have them. Anything else, commissioners? All right, then. So we're going to need a motion read to go into executive session. Dan, I need to ask you a logistical question. We won't adjourn our board meeting until after we adjourn executive session. Is that correct?
Well, you will technically come back here into public session and adjourn from the public session.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to have Angela and Sarah stay for the first half of the executive session. So after we make this motion, we'll excuse you all. Thank you for coming today. Can I have a commissioner make this motion?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I move that we go into executive session for the purpose of considering personnel matters as authorized by Colorado Revised Statute Section 24-6-402-4F. Specifically including the Executive Director's annual review and employment contract, and for the purpose of conferring with General Counsel to receive legal advice on specific legal questions as authorized by Colorado Revised Statute 24-6-4024B, specifically including potential effects of recent federal executive actions on the airport.
Thank you, Lee. That was
second.
Awful. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, we are headed into executive session. Thank you all for attending. Good to see you all. Thanks for being here today.